Hi, everyone. This is Callie Furman from our organizational learning team here at WellStar. I'm excited to welcome you to a conversation on embracing and encouraging joy and wellness at work. Let's dive in.
I am Dr. Rebecca Gomez. I'm a clinical health psychologist with WellStar and the program lead for the resiliency team.
I am Sarah Elliott. I am the manager of employee wellness for WellStar Health System.
I am Kaya Dalton, Assistant Vice President of Operations for Primary Care and Endocrinology for WellStar Medical Group.
Wonderful. Welcome, everyone. Thanks so much for being here with us today. Dr. Gomez, I'd love to start out with you. As we explore this concept of joy at work, what does that typically look like?
Joy at work looks like a variety of things. There's the relationships and having those positive relationships with peers and also with leaders. There's a level of appreciation for the work that you do and also for each other. And there's a sense of fun and being able to actually enjoy the moments that you spend both with patients, with each other, and truly it encompasses not only that culture of care that we're striving for, but it really is having an attitude of gratitude, if you will, and being able to find the positives and find the good things, even in the most difficult or challenging of situations.
So why is it so important that we find that joy at work and that we really focus on keeping it? You've touched on it a little bit so far, but could you elaborate?
You know, joy and everything that comes along with joy, it really is important for us as a health system, because when our teams are joyful, when our teams are fulfilled and feel like the work that they're doing has purpose, has meaning, and I like the people that I'm doing it with, you know, those individuals who feel that joy, they are going to be happier in the workplace. They are going to be more productive in the workplace. They're going to be more loyal, and our retention rates will improve. And ultimately, when we have a happy, healthy workforce, we have improved patient care. So it really does benefit us as a health system to bolster that joy and to create opportunities for our teams to truly experience that attitude of gratitude, that camaraderie, that joy in our day-to-day lives.
To keep us going on that track, what should our leaders know about creating joy on their teams?
Something that is really important, and I say this to every leader that I interact with, is you set the tone. You create those opportunities and you give permission for the teams to engage in activities that bring them joy. As a leader, you know, I mentioned that appreciation, and that can come from peer-to-peer appreciation. We've got the wow system here at WellStar, but even just daily notes of thank you for your help with that patient, or you really rocked out that blood draw, great job. It has a different tone and meaning when it comes from a leader and getting called out in a team. And so as a leader, being able to model that appreciation and being able to give those call outs in that public forum, although that's not necessarily why we're drawn to this work, you know, when we feel like we are succeeding in what we're striving to do and we're getting that recognition for that job well done, that really does have a very deep emotional impact on us. So they can really encourage that camaraderie, that appreciation. They also set the tone when it comes to self-care and fun. If you create an environment where it's okay for people to laugh and it's okay to do things like a potluck lunch or celebrate holidays or birthdays, creating that culture within your group, that really comes from you. You have to set the tone that's expected here. We want you to be joyful. We want you to celebrate. And giving that space, modeling it, and leading through example, you know, that's so important for leaders.
Thank you, Dr. Gomez. That's so helpful and such a great perspective for our leaders to think about. Kaya, Sarah, I'm interested from your point of view. What does embracing joy and wellness look like for you?
So I think it really first has to start with the leader themselves. You know, I think the only way you can model the way is if your team feels that authentically you feel that it's a priority for self-care and joy at work, and then also, you know, being able to take time off and unplug and given that permission for not just yourself, but for your team to also be able to do that. And I think most importantly is checking in with each other and really using emotional intelligence and being able to recognize early when your team is starting to show signs of burnout or show signs of fatigue, and reminding them and connecting with them and identifying tips and tools to help them refill their cup, so to speak, so that way they can keep doing the important work that they do.
That's wonderful, Kaya. Sarah, what about for you?
So I love this question because to me, it's like, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Do you find joy first or is it wellness? And so personally, for me, wellness comes first. If I have a wellness mindset and I am feeling the best about myself from a physical component, nutritional, mental, emotional, social, spiritual, that mindset combined allows the space to recognize those moments of joy that happen both in the workplace and outside of it. And so I think having wellness and knowing where you are in your journey is the first step to, I think, being able to find joy and to be open to it. Because if you're not in a good mindset, you perhaps are going to be a little bit more closed off and perhaps cup half empty in the way that you approach your day, that you approach life. And so in order to get into a place where you receive joy and then are able to give it as well and have this cohesive, joyful, truly happiness, you got to discover what does that look like for you personally, kind of piggybacking to what Dr. Gomez and Kaya have mentioned before. It's, you know, how do we get to that place? And again, you have to take the steps necessary to make sure that you're in a place to create the space for your team to feel the joy and to feel that this is the kind of environment that they can contribute to truly make it this great well culture, this wellness culture that Dr. Gomez spoke of earlier. And truly in healthcare, it's a shift in mindset for us from the get-go. Our mindset is to, you know, you're there for your 12-hour shift, you're go, go, go. And we haven't ever really taken a step back and figured out, you know, even if you do your body scan as a team member or as a leader, like my jaws are completely clenched. I have a headache. I haven't had any water today, nor have I even gone to the bathroom, right? I'm tensed up because I work remote. So all of those things, right, play a role in your overall well-being. Then when you go to do that team building activity that Dr. Gomez and I are trying to bring to your team, are you going to be receptive to that? So if you're well, then I think you're more receptive to what joy and happiness can be to you and your team.
Thanks so much, Sarah. That is really great and such an important reminder for all of our leaders that it starts with our leaders, right? We can't create joy if we're not in a place to facilitate it and to find it and to then spark it on our teams. Kaya, to that point, can you tell us about a time recently when your team found or created joy?
That's an awesome question, given that we've had such a challenging, I would say almost 2 years with the pandemic and just a lot of transitions, homeschooling, life changes. You know, I think it's been a year of resilience is a word that I would use to describe, you know, my team and the challenges that they've been able to overcome and that we've overcome together. One of the times that I can think of was around the time when we were really setting up COVID vaccine clinics in the community. We were all pulling a lot of long hours. No one had been taking any time off for a period of time to really just, you know, recharge. And I do a weekly check-in with my team, and once a month, I actually do a pulse check on a scale of 1 to 5 to say, you know, how are you doing in terms of wellness, joy? If anyone's really less than if they are 3 or less, we have to have a conversation about, okay, so what do we need to do to get you to a 4 or 5? So one of the questions that I asked my team was, what are the things that you did prior to COVID, prior to pulling these long hours and not being able to connect with family or as much? What did you do? For some people, it was, you know, I want to go walk my dog and not feel tied to my phone. So that was a accountability agreement that we created with each other. We would check in. They would send pictures. Hey, I'm out walking the dog. We created a group text. For some people, it was, I haven't exercised in a month and I feel terrible. And it was, okay, hit the gym. So we got great pictures of people sweating it out on their bikes, or they just got finished on the treadmill. For some people, it was, I haven't read a book. Like, I love reading. It's a form of relaxation for me, but I haven't had time to even do that. Or I haven't journaled, or I haven't meditated. So we identified what that tool was that they needed in their toolbox that they needed to pull out so they could go back to the things that were grounding for them in terms of, I'm going to say, self-efficacy, to make sure that they could continue to do that work that's required of us as leaders. And I also had to hold myself accountable to doing the same thing. So, yep, they got the pictures of me in the gym, but it was important for us to do that and to hold each other accountable for it, and then to give people permission when they did take time off to truly hand off to each other. And if you try to respond to an email, your accountability partner would say, what are you doing on your email? Get off your email. I've got it covered. And probably about, I'd say, a month ago, we did a check-in. And that really resonated, I think, to the team in terms of, they didn't just feel like they were part of a team. They felt like they were part of a family. And so that's what I feel like was really important to my team over the last year, and that we've been able to do that has been critical, I think, for us to be resilient, to continue to show up every day for our other team members that need us, for our patients that need us, and for the community that has needed us so much. So thank you.
Kaya, thank you so much for sharing. That is such a great example of what finding joy, creating joy, and really promoting wellness looks like on a day-to-day basis. I really love the challenges and the pictures, and especially having an email buddy to kick each other off of email. How fun is that? So Sarah, to kind of keep us going on that, in that vein, how do you encourage teams to prioritize wellness and use our resources in some of these ways?
Sure. Well, I just have to applaud Kaya, first of all, for recognizing the need, because I think that that is perhaps the first step from a leader's lens. And so regarding your question, I think that that's the role that the employee wellness team plays, because I think Kaya, who is a strong leader and was able to identify the need and then put things in place, I think for some leaders, there's a little bit of a struggle there, not knowing they're able to identify, you know, a team in duress, a team in crisis, but then they're almost at this point of, I just don't know how to help. And I don't know what to do. And then even more so, that's one more thing that I have to add onto my already full plate. And so that's where I think our engagement with leaders is such an integral part to bolster the conversation and the dialogue. But let me go back to a little bit more to your original question. So the first way we engage is to just empower them. And we're not looking to add anything else or anything that's outside of their scope. Let's work with you as a leader and identify a meeting that you already have. And let's work on enhancing what that meeting consists of, right? So if it's a 30-second huddle in the ED, which Dr. Gomez, you know, you got 30 seconds max, what is it that's going to be valuable to those team members? So we have various stretching mechanisms that we're able to bring on site and walk these team members through that are either coming on or off of a 12-hour shift. They're on their feet all day, right? So how do we help alleviate some of the physical stressors that manifest through the day? Because we know that if you're under these stressors repeatedly, day in and day out, every shift, that is where, and Dr. Gomez can speak beautifully, this is where that burnout happens, right? So what are these micro practices, these tools and techniques that can be done in a very short amount of time, but you should do them and make time for your team and empower them to take those 30 seconds to step away, to get their mind, to get their body where it needs to be so they can re-engage and be present in the moment, in the task at hand. But I think that customization piece, because again, it's going to look vastly different. And so let's say it's stress management or meditation and mindfulness and even gratitude. These are all various programs that we can curtail to meet the need of the team. And really more importantly, as a leader, meet them where they are. If you have a work environment that has some toxic components, warm and fluffy isn't going to do the trick, right? You're going to need, how do we enhance positive thinking within the team? But then there are those teams that have a Kaya, that have these strong leaders that are able to continue this team collaboration and that family atmosphere. And we're there to bring in a little bit more, right? Jen, how can we enhance what Kaya's already doing and expand it? So how do we sustain and create a longer lasting kind of camaraderie program within the workplace as well?
So that's such great work that your team is doing, Sarah, and you know, Dr. Gomez and partnering with Sarah's team. Thank you so much for that. And also sharing those opportunities for leaders to hear about it and get involved with it. So if they wanted to reach out to the team to engage you in a conversation and maybe take advantage of some of these programs, how would they do that?
So they can either reach out to me. This is Dr. Gomez. You can reach out to me directly at rebecca.gomez@wellstar.org, or you can reach out to the Resiliency Program, which is resiliency@wellstar.org.
Thank you, Dr. Gomez. For more information around what employee wellness can do for you, contact employeewellness@wellstar.org.
Wonderful. Well, thank you again. And thank you all, honestly, for your time today and for your help in sharing these important words of wisdom with our leaders. Before we leave, do you have any last words of encouragement to share?
Make sure you take time for yourself. I think self-care was the first thing to go out of, to completely leave us as a society, especially in healthcare. And you need to take care of yourself both on and off the clock. And again, going back to Kaya and what Dr. Gomez said, you make time for yourself and you model that way for team members to feel the empowerment to do it themselves.
I completely echo everything Sarah has said, and Kaya, job well done. You really have been a phenomenal leader and will continue to be a shining example for others. In addition to making sure you're taking care of yourself, just, you know, remember to find that gratitude every day. Find something, even in the most challenging of experiences, find that thing to shift that mindset to the positive. We're really good right now at filtering out the negatives, but retrain your brain. Find the positive. What worked well? What did you learn? And really capitalize on those. Acknowledge where those opportunities are to improve, but really celebrate those positive moments. That celebration will go a long way.